Are you ready to get down to business? Join seasoned entrepreneur, community leader, and Army veteran, Scott Shalom Klein, who will take you behind the scenes with those who work in America's small business scene and speak with leaders making an impact, creating jobs, and telling their story in entrepreneurship. So let's get down to business. On AM 560, The Answer, here's your host, Shalom Klein.
And indeed, we're all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. In business, we talk a lot about business here. You're on with Get Down to Business, and I'm your host, Shalom Klein. Remember, you can always download podcasts on my website at syklein.com. And while you are there, don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at Shalom Klein. It's going to be a jam-packed week of content and information you won't want to miss. And I'm going to lead that off with our first guest. That's Chris Moe. And Chris is the co-founder of Cartograph, a team of 60-plus people that helps CPG, we're going to talk about that, and e-commerce brands grow their companies on Amazon. Chris Moe, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Shalom. Great to meet you. Excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a pleasure to have you on. So let's talk about the person behind the microphone. Let's talk about you. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and this wild journey that's led into entrepreneurship and how you are helping other entrepreneurs.
Sure. So I grew up in Northern California. My parents are actually entrepreneurs. They started a small software company in Northern California. Then I went to school in New York, joined McKinsey, did consulting right out of university for a number of years, went to a hedge fund for a couple of years, and kind of always knew that entrepreneurship would find its way to my career. And so my co-founder called me up and said, "Hey, we got this opportunity. I know a lot about Amazon. I'm helping out some brands. I think you might know something about consulting. Let's build Cartograph together." And that was just over about 5 years ago.
Well, congratulations on all of that success. That's incredible. And, you know, certainly listeners, every human being on the planet knows a lot about Amazon. And obviously, we're getting ready for a busy, I guess, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Tech Tuesday, Giving Tuesday, all that sort of good stuff. So Amazon is certainly on many people's shortcuts. But you really call it hack the system. You really understand it, and we're going to dive into that. So what was that aha moment for you where you realized that, gosh, I could actually, you know, make a lot of money for my clients using the system? And we're going to dive in some of those tips and tricks, but not share all of the secrets because we want our listeners to get in touch with you. But yeah, give us that aha moment and how you've watched that amazing website that we all know evolve.
Yeah, you know, it was from the very beginning. John kind of shared with me, that's my co-founder, he shared with me case studies of, hey, if you do all these little things right, Amazon's basically a self-service platform, and they don't make it easy for brands to figure out how to actually make the products move. And so once he showed me the system, and we worked through a couple examples ourselves, we found we could quickly add like $1 million in sales profitably to a number of our clients. And so we've since done that probably over 100 times working with over 200 brands on the platform.
I'm chatting with Chris Moe from Cartograph. Again, you've been hearing about their success and how they've really watched it, which is great. So I used an acronym before, and I hate using acronyms on this program, CPG, but that drives a lot of things that you do. So Chris, do you mind enlightening and decoding that for our listeners?
Sure. So CPG stands for consumer packaged goods. It's basically stuff that lives in a grocery store, generally speaking. And so we say we work in food and beverage, pet, beauty, baby, and supplements. Those are kind of our categories. And really a different way to describe it is consumable products that are low price that people will buy over and over again.
So my dad said a long time ago that it's all widgets. It's all widgets. Again, you could be talking about one product or service or another, but ultimately there's some principles that hold true. And one of the things that I know you talk about a lot, you've become the subject matter expert on, is about advertising. Advertising, you know, specifically using, like you said, that Amazon platform. So you've talked about how ads and Amazon really work. Do you mind telling our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. So yeah, ads are a big part of our process at Cartograph. you know, the first thing you do on Amazon is you make sure that you have inventory available and that your listings look good. You know, that's your pages. That's the stuff that shows up in search. Easier said than done, actually, both of those tasks. And then you get to advertising. So once you have a decent review base as well, then you can start advertising on Amazon. And so advertising on Amazon is not so different from other platforms in that a lot of it uses like a pay-per-click model where you enter a bidding auction in order to find places usually oriented around either search terms or products on the platform. But the interesting thing about it on Amazon is it's a very, very democratic process where performance on ads is really a function of performance of the product. How much do people click it? How much do people who click it actually buy the product? And so your job as an advertiser is to, one, make your page look as good as possible to make sure that people click it and buy it as much as possible, but then also find the places that people are interested in your product. Find places where you're relevant.
I really want to know, especially for our small business owners, entrepreneurs tuning in, what type of brands are successful on Amazon? And again, Chris, what is your playbook for success, especially for entrepreneurs and small business owners?
Sure. So the brands that are really successful on Amazon are brands that, one, have a know where they stand and know understand the differentiation of their product. And so they know that we're different in this way. We do a lot of food and beverage. We're healthier. We taste better. We're specifically a unique flavor. We have a unique look. And then brands that are willing, that can really tell that story in a compelling way with their content. And so our playbook is to work with these brands. And then really the way to think about it is Amazon is about getting about 100 little things right. So it's discipline and execution, making sure every little piece of your content is right. Your supply chain is really clean, that you're always in stock and always available on fast shipping, 1 or 2 day shipping. And then once you have like all your hygiene in order, then you start to promote the pages and then make sure you start to find bit by bit, where do the people who might buy your product shop on the website? And so I like to say it's a little bit more about perspiration than inspiration. It's rarely one or two big ideas. It's being really, really buttoned up on your story and your execution, and then promoting it to all the people who will buy it.
Well, we are chatting with the subject matter expert himself. That's Chris Moe, who founded Cartograph. And again, you've been talking a lot of great tips and a lot of advice, but I want to go back to where we started. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about Cartograph. You've grown it. You've got 60 plus people. You're managing quite a bit. Do you mind telling us a little bit about what's next for you guys as a business? Where are you going from here in 2024 and beyond?
Yeah, we're hoping to continue to grow and kind of focus on what we're doing, which is partner with brands to grow them on Amazon. And we think there's still a lot of opportunity on the platform, even in e-commerce, which has had some struggles in conventional ads like Facebook ads recently. We've been able to grow with almost all of our clients. So we're looking for consumer goods brands that are excited to take a shot at really winning and being a bestseller on Amazon.
Well, that's what you do so well, and we're thrilled that you have shared so much advice with our listeners. But I know you've got a lot more advice. We keep mentioning this playbook, and Cartograph certainly has hacked that playbook. So let's make sure we get our listeners over to you so they can get in touch. How can they do that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, we give a lot of that playbook away for free if you'll find us online. The best way to find us is on LinkedIn. Look for Cartograph. We post weekly tips of all the latest things that we find, as well as you can sign up for our monthly newsletter, which goes a little bit deeper. And we also share white papers there. So you can reach out to me on LinkedIn personally, follow the company, or feel free to even email me directly. I'm Chris at gocartograph.com.
And that's Chris Moe. Chris, really appreciate you coming on the program and sharing your passion, your expertise, your talent with us. Can't wait to have you back on real soon. You're listening to Get Down to Business, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. You can always subscribe, rate, review, and share on your favorite podcast app. Super easy. Just search for Get Down to Business. You'll find it wherever podcasts can be found. We've got some great additional guests all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship this week. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Get Down to Business. We'll be right back. Hey, you're listening to Get Down to Business, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. Go to my website, sykline.com. So I've been really excited for this conversation. I'm joined by Zachary Layden from Ocean View Stables. And Zachary, I know, served in the military and eventually turned his passion into a business venture, and that's what he is joining us here today to talk about. Zachary Layden, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I want to get started by talking a little bit about your background. Thank you for your service, especially relevant just as we air this a few days post Veterans Day. And you are an example of an amazing transition and how you're doing some pretty amazing things. Certainly, I don't think we've had anybody in your industry on this program. So, Zachary, really excited. Let's talk a little bit about your background. What brought you into the military and what brought you out?
Sure. I joined the military right out of high school, and I've just had a passion for, I wanted to serve my country, and I wanted to do something bigger than, you know, myself, and it was a good experience. I joined infantry, was able to get into a special operations unit. It was a good time, went to Afghanistan, had good times and bad times attached to that, came out and was struggling to find purpose. I had a background with horses, and somebody was able to introduce me back to horses, and it made me feel whole again. And so I found myself in a position where I didn't have a position of leadership. I didn't have anything to lose. So I jumped in with both feet and decided I would try to make a living with horses. And I ended up being a success story in it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So 2014, again, that passion for horses evolved into a business venture, and you're truly combining a lot of really, really awesome stuff all together. So where did your love for horses get started? Let's go there.
Sure. It started with a girl, of course, in high school. She liked horses. I liked her. So, of course, I liked horses. Yeah. And that progressed into a strong bond with horses. They always kept me grounded, made me feel present. And so I've always chased the opportunity to be around horses. In the military, I'd cowboy on the weekends. When I was in college, I was on the equestrian team. And then I eventually built a business out of it. So it's always been a part of me.
So especially as a combat veteran coming out, what's the sort of value add? I'm trying to think of the right words to articulate, but what's so special about horses and your world of equestrian sports that actually does have a relevance to veterans, especially in this day and age?
Yeah. When I got out, I started to work with horses. I was in a very dark place before I got involved in the horses as deep as I did. And looking back on it, I could see that I was in a place where I really needed probably psychology. I needed a psychologist. I needed help, to work through the traumas that I was going through. And I would never have thought that back then. I never would have went and sought help. I felt like that we people do that was kind of my mentality when I was younger. And the horses ended up being my therapy. And working with them, you have to be very present to get something done. And you have to be, concentrated on what you want, what the end result is, to actually get there. If you just go work with horses and you've had a bad day, well, the horses don't know the difference. On your way to the barn.
Absolutely.
And you go work with the horse, you're not going to get anywhere with them. He'll notice you.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I'm chatting with Zachary Layden, who uniquely blends the worlds of tech, equestrian artistry and business, and certainly I think from what I hear as I've read through your background, your resiliency in the military certainly has led you to some of the success, because it hasn't all been rainbows and butterflies. I know you've experienced your challenges. So, Zach, if I understand correctly, you're also a computer science student as well?
Yeah, I am. I'm just finishing up with my degree, and I'm a big fan of blending old...
Yeah, blending everything together again. So let's talk about how you do that. You recently moved forward on a horse stable venture in the Bay Area, and it's called Ocean View Stables. So let's talk about what you guys do.
Well, Ocean View Stables is soon to be a tiny guest ranch in San Francisco. Right now, you can do trail rides down to the beach, lessons. You can board your horse there. We have a food truck called Cowboy Cookout. You can have your barbecue meals out at the facility. Eventually, we're going to be putting pods on the back end facing the ocean, an unobstructed view of the ocean. And you'll be able to stay there and do clinics and enjoy horses and our nice meals. The part that blends tech with this is early on in my venture of building this business, I put together a book online software in the horse industry, and I was one of the first people in California to do so. So that was the big starting leap of blending tech with it.
So I want to talk entrepreneurship for a moment, because you certainly have experienced a wild ride in entrepreneurship. I believe you've had your challenges as well. And if you don't mind, we're going to talk bluntly about that, because we have so many entrepreneurs, small business owners tuning into this program that can use that advice. So Zachary, what's been the biggest sort of shock as you've gone into, again, going from the your passion for horses to actually turning it into a business?
So there's like stages to this. When you first get going, everything is hard. Getting contracts, you know, being an authority and proving you're an authority, being able to get, you know, the contracts to survive, that's the first leap. And once you get past that, it seems like the next biggest leap is once you're good and you know you're good, well, everyone else knows you're good. So then people are going to try to hire you. And so then you have to be willing to say no to taking on a job to do the same thing, which probably pays better than the entrepreneurship journey that you're on at the moment, which is a very like disciplined thing to do, to say no to a six-figure job while you're eating top ramen to try to get your business running. And then the next thing is, once you actually reach the success, realizing that it was the journey up that was actually fun, and actually being at the successful point is you're hungry for that climb again. So the journey is the fun part.
Absolutely. And any things that you've done along the way that maybe you would say, gosh, kids, don't try this at home, or any particular shortcuts that maybe you found that you would recommend for a fellow entrepreneur?
So my shortcuts would be based on the horse industry. So it'd be hard to say that's something that I can recommend, because most people are probably not starting a horse business. But one of the issues that I fell into, I ended up losing a huge contract. I had a multi-million-dollar facility in Sacramento, and I had a contract on it. And then I started butting heads with the county, and they found a spot within the contract that they were able to cut my lease, and I had to move on to the next opportunity. And that was, you know, devastating. I took the punches, I kept punching back, and I succeeded. But for a lot of people, that would have been the end of their venture. So you really need to know what you're going into, and get your contracts looked over by multiple people. And don't get so excited to sign that contract and move forward, because later on, as you establish, that contract could kill you. So.
Absolutely. That's words of wisdom right there. I'm chatting with Zachary Layden, who, again, uniquely blends the worlds of tech, equestrian artistry, and business, served in the military, and now certainly has gotten started with a pretty darn cool venture, Ocean View Stables. I mentioned this earlier. We haven't, I don't think, had anybody in the world of horses, equestrian. Pretty awesome. So, Zachary, we've got just about a minute and a half remaining. What's next for you? What should our listeners be looking out for as they hear of Ocean View, and how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, go to oceanviewstables.com, or you can talk to me directly at Zachary@oceanviewstables.com. I can answer any questions about entrepreneurship or horses. The big thing that we're doing is we're renovating this property. We bought this beautiful property right on the coast in San Francisco, or in Daly City, 3 minutes from the San Francisco Zoo. It's wonderful, and we're turning it into a tiny guest ranch in San Francisco. You'll be able to stay in the pods on property. You can do trail rides down to the beach, and you can do lessons if you're local. It's a really cool experience that we're putting together there. The next thing that we're adding to that is a online course aspect, where I'm going to teach people how they can develop their own programs in horsemanship in the horse industry. So that's going to be a link that you can find on oceanviewstables.com. And so if you're interested in starting your own business in the horse industry, I'll have an online course pretty soon.
Well, Zachary, that's amazing. Really appreciate you coming on. Really appreciate you sharing your passion. It bleeds through the radio airwaves, and I can't wait to follow your progress and just really, really appreciate your service, your passion, and your advice that you've shared today. We've got to... back to Get Down to Business, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. I'm thrilled to be rejoined by our returning guest and the expert on everything real estate for this program. That's Laura Catcherbone-Gerace. And Laura, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. You know, it's starting to very much feel like the holidays. I was outside the other day, and I was actually absolutely freezing my tushy off. And I was thinking, gosh, I know that there's a lot of stuff that happens in the real estate world as well around this season. So that's why I wanted to, again, be joined by Laura Catcherbone-Gerace from Coldwell Banker, Stafford Place. And Laura, so let's talk about what winter means for real estate, good or bad.
You know, it's a little bad and still good. It does get slow. You have less traffic when you have a listing. There's less people coming through. But here's the thing. The people that are out there looking, they're serious buyers. They're not looky-loos. They need to buy something. People still get transferred during the holiday season. People still, you know, stuff happens. People unfortunately die, get divorced, all those reasons for selling a house, and that happens during that time. So it's just a little bit slower, but it's not. I sold the house one time on Christmas Eve. For real.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So again, I love that. No looky-loos. People are very serious when they want to move on a property. They want to move fast. And that's why I know you literally take calls at all hours of the day and night. And again, one thing that we have said repeatedly on this program is that the difference between you and everybody that's out there is your focus on your customers. So Laura, I mean, we're a practical show, as you know. Bottom line, if somebody needs something right now in the real estate world, they should not push it off and wait until after New Year's. Is that right?
If you're a buyer, you especially shouldn't push it off, because one of the best times to buy real estate is between Thanksgiving and the Super Bowl. And I know that sounds bizarre, but the day after the Super Bowl is when our spring market starts. And in between that time... is a slower
time.
That's a great deal. Great deal. Because those sellers also, when they're still on the market during that time, they want to sell.
Stay to the right.
So what are the kind of things that folks can do? Obviously, in addition to working with you and your team, what are some of the things that folks can do and should be sort of getting, if they're getting into the zone and starting to make a decision like that, what are some of the things that can make sure that they're going to be positioning their property for success? Or perhaps on the buyer side to make sure that they are going to be a competitive buyer in this time of year.
Continue.
So as a seller, I actually have two books that I have available to clients, one for buyers, one for sellers. And these are some of the things that that's talked about in them. And it, and just so we're clear, it was a book that I put together with a company that gave me the content, and I picked what I wanted in it. So I'm not an author. So I just want to be clear on that. But the ideas are definitely things that I stand by. But so as a seller, I think one of the most important things is, you know, you don't have to remodel your kitchen and remodel your bathroom to put your house on the market. But, you know, a fresh coat of paint goes a long way. You want to declutter. You want, you know, I see pictures of listings. I just saw this the other day. I don't even know why the agent put it on the internet. There's just every, the beds weren't made. There was, you know, things thrown all over the place. The counters were completely cluttered. You can't even see, you know, when you're putting your place on the market, your best foot forward needs to happen right at the beginning. So just small things like that. I mean, I tell my clients, I don't even care if you clean the counter, put it all in a box, and when I'm done having pictures taken, you can put it all back out for all I care. But as long as the buyers can see what it could look like, that's what we're looking for. So that's the most important thing really to a seller, is just small things like that. You know, a crazy thing like your front door, when somebody pulls up to your house, it should look inviting. If your front door looks a mess, then don't make it look a mess. Make it look nice, because that's their first impression. And the rest of the impression goes through the house. So that's for sellers.
I love it. And especially this time of year, Laura, you know, everybody wants to, like you said, they're no looky-loos. Somebody's, if somebody's moving, they want to move on it really quickly. And that's why they need to talk to you. You have been in this business for a while. Let's go with the station identification over here for a moment. Laura Canterbone-Gerais, from Coldwell Banker. You are the expert in the Chicagoland market. You have demonstrated that by talking about how folks, again, can utilize this time of year actually to really, really be able to move forward with their sale, their purchase. Laura, how can folks get in touch with you?
Oh, easy. 708-212-4905 is my phone number. And we always laugh about my email. It's S like Sam, P like Peter. It actually stands for Stratford Place. S-P-Laura, L-E-U-R-A at AOL.com.
And I love that AOL. Laura Canterbone-Gerais, she has been in this business for so long. She has an AOL address, and that's why you need to speak to her. Laura, thank you so much for coming on the program. Happy holidays to you and to your team. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Get Down to Business, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. And boy, do I have a treat in store for you. I am thrilled and excited to be joined by Dr. Cody Garguzlu and his wonderful wife, Valerie Garguzlu. They have quite the impressive story of entrepreneurship that I was so excited to bring them onto the program. I always love to get to know the people behind the microphone first. Dr. Cody, Valerie, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.
It's a pleasure to
absolutely,
be here.
Absolutely. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about background, then we're going to get into your amazing amazing journey and your amazing breakthrough. Tell Cody, if you don't mind getting started, tell our listener a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Dr. Cody Garguzlu. I'm the scientific founder of Imaginostics. And, I've got two bachelors, a master's, and a PhD, and a postdoc. And the technology that the company was founded on was actually invented during my PhD and developed during my postdoctoral fellowship at Harvard Medical School.
That's great. And we're gonna talk all about that, which is great. And Valerie, you are very much a part of the story. We're going to talk about the journey of faith, love, and science. But Valerie, do you mind telling our listeners a little bit about yourself as well?
Sure, with pleasure. So I'm a lawyer by background. Cody and I, we met in France more than 10 years ago. As long as I remember, he always wanted to cure cancer. It turned out that he invented the breakthrough medical technologies that can help find a cure for a lot of incurable disease. And I've helped him to co-found the company, and I officially joined the company just a couple of months ago. So I'm really thrilled about the development and where we're heading.
That's amazing. So wanting to solve cancer and cure the world of cancer, that wasn't just a pickup line from Dr. Cody Guzla to his wife, Valerie. Again, French-American couple. They I know you guys met in France in 2007, I believe. So Dr. Cody, you were talking a minute ago a little bit about your background. Let's talk about this journey, as I mentioned, faith, love, and science. It's a breakthrough company. Let's talk about what you do. Let's dive in a little bit deeper.
Sure. So, you know, it's a MRI-based technology, new MRI physics. And so really the value proposition is that we deliver 10x better vascular images and a novel panel of imaging biomarkers where, for the first time, we can quantify vascular physiology and biology at the individual level.
Wow, that's amazing. So quite a breakthrough. When you were going through medical school, were you planning on sort of going in this research route and certainly going in the direction that you now have this amazing, promising startup company, Imagenostics, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, or were you planning on just trying to help people?
Well, Scott, first, I should say I'm not that kind of doctor. So I'm actually an MRI physicist. My PhD is in biomedical engineering. Originally I intended to bring my love for physics into the medical realm for cancer by enabling a way to quantify tumor damage and delivery of novel pharmaceuticals. And so I really started off by inventing a new modality, an MRI for quantitative imaging. And I did do some work in cancer with some publications. Sorry, I'm overcoming some sickness with some publications in that space. But I quickly moved on to, neuroscience. And nowadays, we focus on Alzheimer's disease and related dementia in our research. Although we are having offerings to pharma companies that are developing novel drugs for cancer to help them show in real time what exactly are their drugs doing to treat those tumors.
Absolutely. And there's almost two stories going on here at once. Certainly the impact that you're having and again, helping people. And yes, maybe not that kind of doctor, but really, I mean, the impact that you're having as a MRI physicist, that's amazing. So, Valerie, what's your role within the company and how are you sort of taking things to the next level?
Sure. So I'm the only non-scientist in this team. Everyone has a PhD and years of experience as a programming, MRI post sequences, or we also have an AI expert on the team. So I guess I bring more like the human touch, trying to explain the technology for lay people. And trying to as well bring the high vision of where, we want to go. We really want to shift medical care from curative to preventative. So how, big vision is to offer full body MRI scans to people when they are, starting when they are in their 20s, maybe 30s, and diagnose disease decades in advance so they can, talk with their doctor and plan for preventative medical treatment.
Fantastic. Again, I'm chatting with Dr. Cody and Mrs. Valerie Guzla, amazing journey of faith, love, and science. And Cody, you were quoted as saying that MRI is, I believe you said exactly, this was the exact quote, we're still living in the Stone Age. Is that a statement that you stand by?
Yeah, I mean, MRI really hasn't changed for 20 years. The real issue is that the images that are generated are just these black and white, pictures, and they really don't lead to any early diagnosis.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Cody, Valerie, I'm going to continue my conversation with you in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about some of that accomplishments that you've had in 2022, 2023, and of course, your vision going into 2024. You're really changing the world, and that's not hyperbole over here. Again, you're listening to Get Down to Business, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. We'll be right back. You're listening to Get Down to Business, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. Always get on my website, syklein.com. Follow me on Twitter, at Shalom Klein. And, of course, search for Get Down to Business on your favorite podcast apps. That's the easiest way. Store. And speaking of amazing guests, I'm continuing my conversation with Dr. Cody and Valerie Garaguzlo, who are doing some amazing breakthroughs in MRI and imaging technology. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. But Cody, you just said right before the break, you talked about how MRIs have not changed in years, and you are doing some pretty massive change pretty rapidly. Either for Cody or for Valerie, let's talk about some of the funds that you've been raising and what that's going towards, and tell us about the past year or two.
Yeah, in thanks. So last year, we were able to get a couple NIH grants. One of them was for $915,000 from the National Institute on Aging, and that's for a multi-center study on the early detection of Alzheimer's disease and related dementia. And so really we're imaging, people between 18 and 35 and then 70-year-old, and then around 70 with mild cognitive impairment. And the goal there is really to map out the vascular abnormality and pathology of mild cognitive impairment. And so we're looking for things like blood-brain barrier leakage and the function of the vessels not being as fast as normal healthy vessels. So we measure the structure, function, and leakage of the vessels. So we, excuse me. And then we got another grant from the National Institute of Mental Health for around $430,000. And that was for mapping out the neurofunctional modulation of any pharmaceutical. We're focusing on depression and anxiety drugs. And so there we're, when the drug is injected, then we're looking at the real-time response throughout the brain. Where does the activation increase? Where does the activation decrease? And the motivation is that it's difficult to develop drugs in that space because of the sort of qualitative nature of the tests that sort of show how those drugs work. And so we really just have breakthrough endpoints that work on the individual level for all these type of measurements.
Absolutely. Again, I'm chatting with Cody and Valerie Garaguzlo. Cody, this is the time of year that we all make some New Year's resolutions. And I can think of no more important New Year's resolutions than the work that, again, the two of you are doing. So let's talk about some of your growth plans and some of your expectations for 2024, which is right around the corner. What should our listeners know as they search? And I know in a moment we'll get folks in touch with you, but as they follow your progress, what should they be expecting?
Yeah, I mean, so we also got near the end of last year an investment from the Alzheimer's Drug Discovery Foundation, which is really a leader in the space of innovation for Alzheimer's disease, of $725,000. And so now we're raising additional funds to the tune of about $2 million. And, we have these two projects I spoke of in play. We also have another project with a leader in preventative diagnostics under mutual NDA, so I won't quite give the name yet, but the plan is to image 150 people and to do full body vascular images, which wouldn't be possible but for our technology.
And we
amazing.
Also
amazing. Congratulations. Yeah, good.
And we are also launching our commercialization with pharma companies that want to test out their drugs, the toxicity, the safety, and the efficacy, because we have those precise, preclinical and clinical endpoints that we can offer them.
Amazing, amazing. So I want to make sure our listeners get in touch with you. Can you send our listeners over to your website?
Yeah, it's www.imaginostics.com. So, the name of our company comes from imaging plus diagnostics. So yeah, you can find us there.
Imaginostics.com. That's a wrap for us here this week on Get Down to Business. But we're going to be back next week on the show all about small business jobs and entrepreneurship. Again, get on my website, sykline.com. Thanks to all of our amazing guests. And certainly we wrapped it up with a bang with Dr. Cody and Valerie from Imaginostics. Thank you so much for joining us. To success, let's get down to business. We'll talk to you next Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on AM560 The Answer.
Thank you. Scott.